For Parshas Va'era, we're going to take a look at the Meshech Chachma on the four Lashonos of Geula. So we'll open up the Pasuk first. In Parshas Va'era, the Torah really opens up with God promising the redemption from Egypt in four different languages. He uses four different Lashonos for Geula. And it says the following. Well, I'm almost there. Here it is. It says, "Vayidaber l'kim al Moshe, vayomer elav ani Hashem, vayiro el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov." And then it says that, "Votzesi eschem itach asivlos Mitzrayim, vitzalti eschem yavodasam, vegaalti eschem bizroi netuya, vilakachti eschem lila'am." So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, correct? So we start with Votzesi, and then we go on to Vitzalti, and then Vagalti, and finally Vilakachti. So we want to see the insights of Rabbi Simcha on this fourth of the four Lashonos, Vilakachti. So it should appear on your photocopy on page Chaf Ches. So if you'll find that page, you'll see Vilakachti. Now, first of all, on the right column, he speaks about Vilakachti from the perspective of creating an Am. Creating an Am meaning God promises that you'll be a free nation, and a free nation means that you'll have your own culture, you'll have your own legal system, your own language, your own coins, currency, and so forth and so on. You'll have your own police force. So I don't know if you're following the news today, but here in the state of Israel, you know, the French president is here, and the Israeli police are under fire now because apparently they didn't want to let him go into a certain church which is owned by the French government. Anyway, there's a whole to-do. You'll read it about it in the news. But be that as it may, v'lakachti eschem lila'am, that I'll be your king and you will have your own am, your own nation. So Rav Meir Simcha identifies nation and nationality as Lu'umiyut, he calls it. A kind of society with its own ways and mores and ethics and legal system, etc. And why did Klal Yisrael merit this Vilakachti, this great divine promise? Because Lo Shinu Es Lashonam, that they were dedicated to their own language. Even though they lived amongst the Mitzrim, they didn't speak Mitzri. They spoke Lashon Kodesh. And also Loshinu Es Shmam. They didn't change their names. So I know you went to Yeshiva Flatbush, right? So you'll know what I mean when I say they didn't call themselves Ralph and Joseph and what are the names, the popular names there? Yeah.
Well, I call myself Judah. Judah's an anglicized name.
Okay. But Steve and Larry and Ralph and, yeah, you know, in Yeshiva Flatbush, I know a little bit about Yeshiva Flatbush because both my sisters went to Yeshiva Flatbush.
And they don't give their names out there, or they do?
They do. Well, things have changed. There's a history here, you know. Well, I'm not going to go into detail.
Well, in South Africa, people have the English name and the Jewish name, but today more people are giving names that are Hebrew names.
Biblical names,
English,
right.
So
right.
English.
Correct. So I'm just saying there's one particular culture. I don't want to speak it out because it might sound a little pejorative, but I never understood a lot of things about that culture I don't understand. My brother-in-law, may rest in peace, was a rabbi in that community, and the names that they use, some of them are border on really Christian names. I'm not even going to go into detail, but Shaloshinu Eshmam. Anyway, we have such a thing that Klal Yisrael back in Egypt did not call themselves by different names that you'll see. You see the top line on your page? Do you see what says Reuven Shimon? You see that?
Yeah.
So he discusses about Reuven and Shimon. Those were the names that they went down to Mitzrayim with, and those are the names that 2 centuries plus later they came up with those names. And if you look in footnote number 24, he says that the Egyptians had different names. They had a name called Pupa. They had a name called Luliani. And they had a name called Listim. Okay. And all these were Egyptian names.
Could it be the poor and the names of the midwives? Could those have been...
Well, I'll tell you why I disagree with you, because I think Pupa has a definite meaning in Egyptian, whereas Pua has a definite meaning in Lashon Kodesh. Rashi goes into an explanation what Pua means. But what I'd like to learn with you now is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which Rabbi Simcha quotes on the left column. Do you see that? Rav Simoy Omer, he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Perek Achelek. Nemar, it says, V'lakachti eschem li la'am. And then afterwards it says, in the next pasuk, Ve'vesi eschem el ha'aretz. That's sort of like the fifth promise here. Although, how many cups of wine do we drink on the night of Pesach?
Four.
All right, I drink five. No, no, but we have what's called a minig chabad. The Lubavitcher minig is that we drink five cups because of this fifth promise, which is veivesi. So my Rebbe Rav Salvation used to. Right, right. I wouldn't want to take Eliyahu's kos. I know that would get me scared.
Take it. That's not wine. It's whiskey.
Oh, whiskey. Okay, good. So anyway, it says veivesi, and the Gemara says the following. Makish Yitziosa Mimitzrayim. No. The Rav would explain why we only drink four cups. You know, he felt it was akasha. I mean,
why do you drink five?
No, I'm saying the Rav Paskin for his community. I come from seven generations to Lubavitch, so that's my tradition. But the Rav was paskining about Veivesi. Why is it that we don't have a fifth cup? Mm-hmm. Because again, it's immediately following. It's again all five. You know, if you have a chumash, you'll see it inside. All five are in one unit, two psukim, one unit, and it says v'itzalti, v'gaalti, v'lakachti, and it says v'evesi. So why don't we have? You know, he spent half a shia trying to explain why we don't have a fifth kaz. Can they get v'evesi?
When do you have the fifth?
He had a whole shia about the difference between destiny and destination. That was the shia. He said that the four lashonas is destiny, and the fifth lashon is destination. Okay, it was not a very Zionistic speech. I mean, but anyway, I'm not going to go into that.
But when do you drink the fifth cup?
Again, I have to go through the minhagim of Chabad. There are a lot of different variations. But what I'm sorry I even mentioned. I just really want to get back to Makish Yitziyosam Mitzrayim Leviyosam La'aretz. Wow. You remember that there was Makas Choshech. And Chazal say that during Makas Choshech, many Jews unfortunately perished. And it says, and we read it as Chamishim, which means 1 out of 50. But whatever the number is, it's a very, according to one opinion, again, there are many, many opinions, but one opinion has it that there's a very small percentage of the Jews that actually got out of Mitzrayim. So therefore, when it says that Biyosam La'aretz, when they get to the land, so it's going to be again a small percentage, and Yitzias Mitzrayim was also a small percentage. Now you'll see on the next page, if you have the flip side of your page, I don't know if it came out, it should say Choftes on it. And it said, right?
No, I have Choftes and Lama. Oh, no, here.
Okay. It should be on the flip side. You have such a thing?
Yeah.
So he says the following. Omar Rav. Now, this he has in parentheses because sometimes Rameir Simcha only quotes part of a statement in Chazal and he doesn't quote the entire statement. So the Motzi La'ar, that means the publisher, added a little bit more in order to clarify, and he puts it in parentheses. Omar Rav v'chein li Mosa Mashiach. Now, what's going to happen at Yemosa Mashiach is that unfortunately we're going to be in situations of wars, of battles. Maybe you heard of Gog u'Magog, and once again we're going to see that not every Jew is going to make it for Yemosa Mashiach, and this is based on a pasuk in Hoshaya Hanavi. And it says, V'ansa shama ki meni reak ukiyom alosa mi Mitzrayim. That what's going to happen at the end of time is similar to what's going to happen when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. Kavanas ha-mamar, says Rav Meir Simcha, what is the mamar trying to convey to us? Ha-muflag hu. Muflag means, it's a very important statement in Chazal. Ki kola osos ve'amosim u'shvatim gidolim. Asher Osam Mitzrayim B'Asher Makas B'Kriyas Yamsuf. All that God did to change nature with the supernatural miracles of the 10 plagues, of the splitting of the sea, it was all worth it. Shava. It was all worth it. Why? B'shvil sheyavo shnayim v'shishim rivui ala matara elokit. In other words, many times we put in an effort, but we expect that the dividends will pay off, and the effort was worth it. You might think that if such a small percentage of Klal Yisrael actually made it through the redemption, and even a smaller percentage through Eretz Yisrael and through the ultimate redemption at the time of Mashiach, but maybe it's not worth it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, it's worth it all. Ukamosha kol ze nasa b'midbar kol ayil toeles asher shnei anoshim yisharu mishishim ribui. That just like God wanted to put in all this effort so he'll end up with these two people, kein lo yimna HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'ashem yisbarach l'shadei dateva. Shadei dateva means to vilify and violate the very laws of the natural order. Ulaharos l'zaro, and to publicize to his children, to the descendants of Israel, Ashkechaso, his supervision, his providence over Bonov, Bifrat Lechol Bay Olam, even though it's only on a small number of people, but this is very fundamental. And what it means is that over and over again we're going to see in Yetzias Mitzrayim, Leman Yedu, you remember that? Leman Yedu? Right, that we have to know that God is the God of nature. He controls nature, and He can change nature whenever He wills to do so.
He's the God of history.
He's the God of history. The Ramban has a whole presentation in his commentary on the Torah at the end of Parshas Bo as to why all these miracles prove the 13 principles of our faith. So sometimes God feels that what justifies changing nature is not necessarily the salvation of Reuven, Shimon, or Levi individuals, but in order to present a proof, a demonstration for all the world that there are Yud-Gimel Midos of the fundamentals of our belief. Hashgach al-Banov, that God has supervision and providence over His children, and this has to be done publicly, L'chol Bayola. In other words, even though it's a prat, but it's for the whole klal. Afki einom ruuyim, even if we don't really deserve it, el advekus. And this is based on a thesis that Rav Meir Simcha repeats over and over again, that in Mitzrayim we really got contaminated there. The people of Israel were on the lowest spiritual level. They were a memtes shari tuma, if you heard of it, and they were even ovdei avodah zarah. So they didn't really come to the level of dveikus in which they were close to Hashem. But nevertheless, hamatara tachlitit, the ultimate goal that justifies all this is shnayim mishishim ribu. Now we have to understand what does it mean shnayim? What is this number two? But let's go on just for a minute and see if we can come back to that. He says, umeos alofim sone Hashem yavodun. And it could be that hundreds of thousands, he says, of enemies of God will be destroyed. And what's the ultimate goal? Avur to'aliyut, for the purpose and the goal of pratim mitzuyonim, of those individuals that are exceptional, that are great, ma'aminim b'ashkechaso, who really believe in God, and v'zehu sha'amar rava v'chein limos ha-mashiach. This is a pattern that's going to repeat itself at the time of Mashiach. Now, who are these two people? Give me just one more minute, Yehuda. Who are these two people that we keep emphasizing that the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim was worth it for those two people? So if you'll take a look at footnote number one, but for this you'll have to turn back to the previous page where we started, and you'll see on the bottom left, Shalom Nishtairu Mishishim Ribu Sheyotzi Mitzrayim Elashnei Anoshim. So from all those who left Mitzrayim, who are those people who are going to enter into the land of Israel? Only two of them. And the ultimate goal is Veivesi, is to bring the people into Israel. Well, how many people is he taking out of Mitzrayim that will enter into the land of Israel? Only two people. Who's that? Kalev ben Yefuneh and Yoshua ben Nun. Okay, so again, just to summarize what we've been saying until now, Rav Meir Simcha says that the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is meant to culminate with entering into the land, was all justified for two people who recognized the providence of God. And who are these two people?
Crazy, but where did Moshe and Aaron?
They didn't enter into the land. So again, you're right. It's true that Moshe and Aaron are the greatest, but Rav Meir Simcha wants to know if the Yetzias Mitzrayim was meant to culminate with Havah to Eretz Yisrael, correct?
Yeah.
So then, who's going to enter into Eretz Yisrael? Moshe and Aaron, unfortunately, are not going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So it's going to have to be for Yoshua and for Kalev.
Really, like...
But it wasn't only them. It was the people that didn't... the people who came out of Israel. But they were also... They were the youngsters who didn't die.
So again, there are different views in the Medrash. It could be that some have the view that the youngsters made it into Eretz Yisrael, but I think everyone agrees, if I'm not mistaken, Doc, that those youngsters were born after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So from those who left Mitzrayim, only two Jews from Shishim Ribu who would actually enter into the land. That's a pretty mind-boggling concept. And God will destroy all the evildoers and the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim only to culminate in two Jews entering into the land.
So what does that tell us, like, at a muster level?
Right. That's a good question. So if you take a look at footnote number 5, we're back to the page that we're up to. He says the following. It's about 7-8 lines down. He says, Sheyi Hashem Muchan Laharot nisim v'niflaot milyonim she'enam ru'im liros nisim v'shelo yafiku miriyosam zu kol toeles avur osa bodedim yechidei skula kekolev ukiyoshua bedoro. Here's the moral lesson here. God is going to show millions of people His strength, His power, His miracles, and these people are not even going to get the message. They really have not experienced any profound transformation, and they don't deserve these miracles. But yet, there are two people that he calls him Bodedim. Are you familiar with that word? Here we have a program for Chayalim Bodedim, right? Bodedim are those individuals. Yechidei Skula, they're unusual. Kalev and Yoshua. That's the entire generation as far as who's going to get the message, who's going to actually take this revelation to heart and have it penetrate into his being and transform his personality. Two people. It's worth it for those two people. To me, that's a major ethical message.
Right.
You know, how much effort do you put in? You know, I was Rosh Yeshiva in a yeshiva called Mevaseret. I don't know if you ever heard of it. I was there for 18 years. We created the yeshiva and we headed the yeshiva. And I have to tell you that sometimes I would ask myself, you know, is it worth it all? And then I look around and I see This fellow is the head of Atzola in Holliswood, you know, Holliswood, Queens, and this fellow is a professor at Bar Ilan University, and this Talmud of ours is teaching in Frisch. I don't know if Judah will know what I'm talking about. I don't know, Doc, if you're familiar, and all this. So sometimes you say to yourself, you know, was it worth it all? We killed ourselves, but the answer is no. I mean, let's take a cue from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to change all of nature and at the end destroy who knows how many people, and all for Kalev and Yoshua. V'cheinu Omer, and he also wants to...
So we're saying that the value of tzaddik, I mean, that is a theme in Jewish thinking,
right?
Especially in Chabad.
Right.
Like, the value of one person who's committed his life towards tikkun is transferable.
Correct. Excellent. And that's what I think Rav Meir Simcha wants to point out. The thing is, we don't always realize that lesson is something we can derive from Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, we think, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm willing to destroy the whole nation, and you, Moshe Rabbeinu, will be the father of the nation. You know, God says it's all worth it just for you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Here we're seeing this lesson in Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, when we come to the Seder on Pesach night and we think about the full Lashonus of Geula, and then we think that it's all meant to culminate in Veivesi, and you ask yourself the question, who ended up in Veivesi? So most people think that masses of Jews entered into Eretz Yisrael. That's true, but how many of those Jews were there at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim? V'cheinu Omer, let's just finish up the paragraph because I got an emergency call that I have to take care of, sorry. He says, V'cheinu Omer, and he quotes a pasuk in Parshas V'eschanon, you know, when Moshe Rabbeinu gives his major presentation, he says, "Kechol asher os Hashem lachem elokechem v'mitzrayim le'einecha." Now this is really interesting because this pasuk says, "Lachem," God is addressing the entire nation of Israel, and this is in the Midbar. So now they're going through the desert, they're about to enter into the land, and God says, I did all these great miracles in Mitzrayim le'einecha, in front of your eyes. Ki aniflos also lekulam, God revealed himself with these great supernatural miracles to everyone. Ulahabit velikach mizem musar, so that they would see and perceive these miracles and get the message of tzedek, of goodness, of righteousness, v'emunah, Torah, and pure faith. But on the one hand, everyone is going to observe these miracles, but how many of the people are going to let the tzedek and the emunah penetrate into their very beings and transform their personalities? This is only for individuals. As we said before, it's le'enecha. Why is it le'enecha? Le'enecha implies a singular. It should have said le'enechem. But the answer is, le'enechem means that you all saw it, but how many of you got the message, and how many of you were transformed? Then we reduce it down to yechidim. Then it becomes more of a singular. Lachen, therefore, lo yirpe yodi, yidei hamamin, bira'oso, ki ein misha roi el hamatara lokit rak yochid skula. So a person who is a believer, he may become rafa. Rafa means
weak.
Correct. We call it, what's the phrase that we use?
Refionyan?
Yeah, but there's another phrase I'm thinking of. Just give me a second. What's it called? Chalisha Sadas. Have you heard that phrase? We get Chalisha Sadas. Why? Because here we believe, and yet we see that who around us is really really suitable for the ultimate purpose of God. There's so few of them. He says that sometimes you only have a shviv. Shviv is like a little spark of fire. Beiricho beruach soer yoyeres kol ha'olam. Wow, this is really a message of faith for the individual, that sometimes the whole world is worth it for one individual who can change the entire world. It sounds like Martin Luther King, right?
Lubavitcher Rebbe.
Well, Lubavitcher Rebbe, right. One person, even though he represents what you think is a shviv esh, but he can spread the light throughout the world. And so too we see in Hashgacha Elokit, that God sometimes has a special relationship with one person, an entire generation. He attaches himself, he clings to one individual. But Yericho Ruach Mishpat Tzedek, because he, in a sense, he penetrates into this person's soul, a very strong Ruach, a very strong, powerful wind, so to speak, or a spirit of Mishpat and Tzedek, Tieli Ar Olam. He becomes now the light of the entire world. So Le'esh Lo'esh Al Heves Ka. I'll just finish it up and then. Now it makes sense that this whole parsha should be attached to what came right before, and that is Echad mimishpacha mezake kol mishpacha. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, now Rav Meir Simcha is really analyzing the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There are two statements in the Gemara that are contiguous one to the other. The first one says, Echad mimishpacha mezake kol mishpacha. And the second one says, V'lakachti eschem lili am, makish yitziyosam libiyosam. That yitziyosam is like biyosam, and just like biyosam is only two out of the 600,000, so too yitziyosam. It's very few left Mitzrayim from the original population of Israel. Why did the Gemara bring down that Maimar immediately following Echad mi Mishpacha Mezakis Kol Mishpacha? So if you take a look, you'll see in footnote number 10 that he quotes the same Gemara in Chelek, Ki anochi ba'alti bachem v'lakati eschem echad me'ir u'shnai mi'mishpach amresh lakish dvarim kiksavam, that there's only one person from the city and two people from the mishpacha that were nimlat. Nimlat means that they were saved, they were spared, correct. Amale Rav lo nichale li yirmiya di amra lohu hachi. Rashi says, Eina kodesh baruch hu rotsa shetehei don es Yisrael kol kach lekaf chova. Ela echad mi ir mizakes kol ha'ir shnai mishpacha mizakin kol ha'mishpacha. So the pasuk in Yirmiyah is coming to teach us, says Reish Lakish, that one person, echad mi'ayir, or shnai mi'mishpacha, is enough for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mezakeh the entire city, the entire mishpacha. It's a little bit interesting because in the case of Sodom, it was a minimum of 10, but here it's a minimum of one out of every city. Maybe this is a different judgment for Klal Yisrael, I don't know. You have to learn the Gemara in Chelek. But the point is, says Rav Meir Simcha, that Gemara is brought down right near here, this Gemara, in order to show you how significant is the Yachid. Sometimes we get lost in the Tzibur. You know, we think, oh, the community, and the individual loses his significance. You know, he's like Batel Baro, Batel B'Shishim. But the answer is no. A birya is not Batel. You know that a full creature is never Batel, no matter how many thousands it is. Because a birya is a person that is shalem, he's complete, he has an agenda, he has a purpose, he has a goal of dveikus and Hashem, of emunah. Yeah, Doc, what were you saying?
No, sorry, that was Moshe's condition. He said 10 people. Why would he die after one person? Why would the fuck be three?
Right, that's a good question.